Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, July the 1st, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Our top story today is that a mum has called for empathy, support and safe spaces for the trans community following the death of her teenage daughter. Sigrid Taylor was born in Ashford and went to school in Canterbury before relocating to America with her family when she was seven. Now, the 19-year-old had moved back to Herne Bay about a year before her death, and a fundraiser's now been set up to pay for a headstone. Lucy joins me now with more on this. Lucy, what more has Sigrid's mum had to say?
Well, Penny has described her daughter as beautiful, compassionate and deeply authentic. She says the 19-year-old had come out relatively recently but was doing very well and had made a good number of acquaintances in the trans world. However, she took her own life after struggling with her mental health. Penny has also told us how Sigrid loved to dance, sing and act, and also loved being with friends and helping others. She liked Costa Rica, New York and big cities and was described as fashionable, creative and deeply curious about the world. It's hoped a fundraiser that's been set up will help to pay for a permanent memorial.
Well, you can call the Samaritans 24/7 on 116 123. That's 116 123. Or you can chat in confidence to a trained Release the Pressure advisor anytime. Just text the word SHOUT to 85258 or call 0800 107 0160.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a Kent police officer has gone on trial accused of a sex attack on a colleague. Daniel Tonder worked out of North Kent Police Station in Northfleet when the offence is said to have happened. The 31-year-old from Gillingham has denied the charge and the trial continues. Four people are due in court later after reports of serious assault involving weapons in Headcorn. Police and paramedics were called to Lenham Road on Sunday night. Two men and two women in their 30s and 50s were accused of various offences, including possession of an imitation firearm and GBH with intent. A physiotherapist who was based at a hospital in Deal has been struck off for using incorrect techniques on patients and leaving one woman in pain. Concerns about Thangapandian subramanium were raised by colleagues at Victoria Hospital in 2022, but he resigned before a probation review meeting could take place. A hearing was told he then took up another job in Ireland. He's now been removed from the Health and Care Professions Register. A Kent fire and rescue dog has travelled overseas for the first time to help find survivors of the earthquakes in Venezuela. Two-year-old black Labrador Millie has been deployed alongside five technical rescue firefighters from the county. More than 1,700 people are known to have died, with thousands more missing in the rubble. Now, dozens of pupils are having to find a different school to go to in September after a new one near Thanet failed to get approval in time. It was hoped Turner School's Carbon 6 pathway would be able to start teaching at Discovery Park in Sandwich at the beginning of the new academic year. When it does open, it'll specialise in STEM subjects and work alongside companies at the park. But paperwork is still being looked over by the Department for Education. I've been chatting to Russell Sauntry, who's the founder.
The proposal is still under active consideration with the DfE legal and policy teams. So given the complexity of the project, we were told that it's likely to still be the second week of July at the earliest before a final decision could be confirmed. And unfortunately, that's what's forced our hand really about making the decision now. We didn't want to leave the young people hanging into the summer holiday.
Oh, it must be very frustrating for you, though understandable. I mean, how are you feeling at the moment as we head towards the school summer holidays?
Well, obviously, it's the end of an academic year, so everyone's tired. But we do try and teach young people about resilience. So it's really important. One of the things they need to see is the adults of the world showing some resilience. And good things are sometimes difficult to achieve, and you don't give up at the first little hurdle.
No, as you say, all the paperwork is still being done. So fingers crossed that will all go through. But had you had a good response to the school? Were a lot of pupils wanting to come there in September?
Yeah, we had a good cohort. I mean, I think the key thing was that we had a good cohort from a range of different areas all around the Kent area. And I think the thing that was most exciting for me is that we had over 50% applications from females. So with the real push for STEM, for women to get women into STEM, I felt we perhaps locked into something that was going to make that happen. So yes, the response was fantastic, and I've been interviewing all the students myself, and they are frankly amazing. And I'm really disappointed we're not going to be able to do that this year.
If, fingers crossed, all the paperwork goes through and you're given the green light, could you open at a different point next academic year, or would it have to wait until next September?
No, it would have to wait until September 27. One of the key things I wouldn't want to do is open a month late and then start taking young people out of the schools. We're not into the idea of competition among schools. We've met with a number of schools. We want to work with them, have them use our facilities if needed, help train the teachers in particularly physics. We've been talking about doing some training around physics because we need more physics teachers in Kent. So it would be wrong both for the students and the local schools to open midway. That just wouldn't be right. So I wouldn't do it.
Kent Online reports.
A woman's suffered a broken ankle and bruising to her face after being attacked by a stranger in Chatham. It happened in the early hours of Saturday in the High Street and Railway Street. The suspect's been described as about 5 foot tall and dressed in dark coloured clothes. A headcore man has been in court after being found driving more than 25 years after he was given a ban. Daniel May had been ordered to take a retest after being disqualified, but never did. The 44-year-old from Thatch Barn Road admitted driving without a licence. He's been given another ban and fined. Drivers have described a road junction in Maidstone as being like the surface of the moon because of the number of potholes. The mini roundabout at Pennenden Heath has been reported to officials more than 30 times. It connects Sandling Lane and Boxley Road, close to shops and a park. The County Council say repairs are due to take place this month. Police are investigating after a brick was thrown through the glass door of a steak restaurant in Rochester. The attack was caught on CCTV at Boof on the High Street in the early hours of Sunday. The owners say it caused thousands of pounds in losses and they had to close for the day. And there are calls for flags that were tied to lampposts in part of Kent last summer to be taken down because they've become tatty and an eyesore. They were put up as part of the controversial Raise the Colours movement but have been battered by the weather ever since. Well, a local councillor in Ashford has raised the issue with the county council, but authority bosses say they'll only be removed if they pose a safety risk. Now, a new art installation has gone on show in Canterbury, featuring poems by schoolboys about well-being and masculinity. Year 8 pupils have been exploring themes of stereotypes, role models and belonging in sessions run by the Uni of Kent. Gail Fawcett is the graffiti artist who's behind the project.
We do some amazing programmes, and one of the programmes that we do is this Championing Boys programme that my colleagues and created. So I was chatting to David Smith, who runs the programme, and I was just saying, look, we do this element of poetry within the programme, and I'd seen the poetry that they created in 2025, and it's amazing. And I was like, do you think we could do something together and spray paint them at the Gulbenkian? And he was like, yeah, definitely. So it sort of, it came out of that, and then we set off on this journey to work with a particular school on this programme.
Is it a local school, a Canterbury school, where the boys are going?
Yeah, so, well, it's local in that it's the Charles Dickens School in Broadstairs. The university leads this programme called the Southeast Hub of Boys Impact, and it's a national movement that's bringing together educators, researchers and policymakers to help boys and young men sort of flourish and think about what it means to be a male in this day and age. So this particular program that we're running with the Charles Dickens School is working with year 7s, 8, 9 and 10 boys, and an element of that is looking at exploring their identity through creative writing and thinking about the kind of men they want to be.
Yeah, it must be a difficult age, you know, like those kind of teenage years, and as you say, figuring out who you want to be, what kind of man you want to be, because there's a lot out there in the, you know, the manosphere. It must be difficult to navigate that.
Yeah, really difficult. And I think that's why this program is so incredible, because you know, David, who runs the program, he works with our student ambassadors, who are all male, and they can go into the schools and they talk to the boys about what it means to be a man, what their role models are, who they admire, you know, whether that's a celebrity or someone in their life who's been close to them, someone they can confide in. And it's sort of building up not just their thinking of what a positive male role model is, but they also have positive male role models in the room. So there's a really strong relationship building. So what it was a real privilege to be part of that because, you know, in a way, the role for me was very different because it was stepping back because this was a safe space for the boys to talk about these things. And obviously, as a woman, it was making sure that they felt comfortable and they had that creative space, and I wasn't intruding on it in any way. So I feel really privileged that, you know, the two worlds that I love, poetry and education, came together so nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. And are there any common themes in these poems themselves? Because they've been written obviously directly by the boys, and that's so important, isn't it? Hearing their voices. And what kind of
Yeah.
things were they talking about?
So they ex in the workshops they explore different ways of expressing themselves through poetry. Now, I can't say I'm the expert. This is where my colleagues, David and Katrine, really sort of owned the space because it was very much about working. For example, we did blackout poetry, and we gave them some examples of some poems that already explore sort of things like male identity, misogyny, you know, that sort of thing. And then they work through them. And with blackout poetry, you cross out words and you create your poem from that. So instead of saying to someone, "Oh, come on, we're going to write a poem," they see this poem, they read it, we talk about it, and then they black it out and create their own work. So one of the stencils is called Stained Society, is a poem that one of the boys created from this blackout poetry. Then we do something called list poetry, where I come from. So they list things, well, they write about where they come from. So that was really nice because that was exploring, you know, their sense of identity, their sense of place. It included things like, "I come from lockdown," you know, amazing, amazing line. "But I come from a primary school that builds me up. You know, I come from a home that doesn't waste food." You know, that's a poem from a boy called Harry. I mean, that one just sort of stayed in my head. So yeah, kindness, identity, who they are, who they want to be. There's one about nuggets, which is entitled Food for Warriors or something. I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but he starts with, you know, nuggets. "I like nuggets. Nuggets give me food. Nuggets for war." It just builds up and it ends with mountain biking. So there's a real journey there that you wouldn't expect from the first line of the poem. Oh, yeah, the list poetry. So when we talk about cooking, and one part of the activity is that they write all the sort of verbs that they can think of with cooking. So whether that's baking, sieving, straining, cutting, chopping, and then they create a poem out of that. And there's one line which is, "I'm marinating maturity." I mean, what a great line. So there's some really standout lines. And these boys are what, like 12? And just through that process of, you know, working with the student ambassadors, working with David and Katrine, you know, and me, they started to come out with these just incredible lines. It's really inspiring.
Kent Online reports.
A former Debenhams in Gravesend could be turned into flats. Plans have been submitted to bring the abandoned site back into use. If approved, the ground floor on New Road would stay as shops while the upper levels would be converted into accommodation. A Victorian building in Dover, meantime, could be knocked down to make way for modern apartments. An application's been submitted to demolish Goodwin Hurst, which is currently a nine-bedroom HMO on Leybourne Road. Developers want to build 18 apartments in its place with just two parking spaces. A department set up at the County Council to find cost savings after Reform UK came to power in Kent is set to be renamed. DOLCH will now stand for Delivery of Local Government Efficiency. We're told a fresh approach will work across the whole authority to drive efficiencies and value for money. It'll be discussed at a meeting tomorrow. An interactive artwork honouring Len Goodman is being unveiled in Dartford later. The former Strictly judge ran a dance school in the town before passing away in 2023. A series of footprints has been put on the pavement outside, encouraging all of us to follow dance steps. Well, I've been chatting to Jeremy Kite, who's the leader of Dartford Council.
The world knows Len Goodman, but the truth is that we in South London and Dartford had him first, and he ran a fantastic dance school here. He taught generations of Dartfordians how to dance, some better than others, I have to say. But the truth is, he was a wonderful advocate for our town. And so when he passed away, we knew he wanted to do something. So today is what the result is. It's an amazing piece of street art right outside the Goodman's Dance Studio in the centre of Dartford. We're unveiling it this morning, and I hope everybody has a really lovely time. The family have been involved right from the beginning. I hope it's a beautiful tribute to him, full of fun, full of vigour, full of activity. He wouldn't have liked a statue. He wanted something that made people smile. So that's what we're giving them this morning.
I was going to say, why is it not the traditional statue or sculpture of the man? Why was that decision made then?
Well, because Len Goodman never stood still. And that's the truth. I mean, we have statues in the town, of course, to our wonderful Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. And I guess they never stand still, but we made a fantastic dynamic statue for them. But Len was one of those people where you could never capture his personality in something like that, because it was all about his character, what he said, his amazing sayings, his amazing personality, his amazing kindness, his smile. And so we wanted to do something that people could interact with, because he was the great interactor. You know, he was everyone who met him, whether you're in Hollywood or in Dartford, they said he was the same person. You bump into him in Bluewater, bump into him in Beverly Hills, exactly the same person. So we wanted to encapsulate that really and say thank you to a townsman, you know.
Are you able to describe this artwork for us then, Jeremy?
Sure. Well, what we have is a fantastic pavement right in front of the Goodman's Dance Centre where people are coming along. We challenge people not to follow the steps. And for anyone who's learned to dance, you'll remember those horrible carpets where you have all the feet placements. And you're meant to put your feet here, feet there, feet there, feet there, some forward, some back. And so we've replicated that along the pavement so that as you're walking past the studio, frankly, you'll be able to dance from one end to the other. And then right in the middle is our kind of Hollywood tribute, this star in the pavement. So with his name on it and his achievements, and all the way down it, there are amazing recollections of some of his great sayings, pickle my walnuts and I'm a cup of tea in a world of latte and all that kind of stuff. So we've got them all on the floor. So I hope people will have a laugh when they see it.
Sounds fantastic fun. And of course, you've got one of his fellow judges from Strictly there to do the honours. That's a lovely tribute to him, isn't it?
Yes. Well, actually, a number of people who work with him. We haven't found anyone who worked with him who's got a bad thing to say about him. And they all wanted to be involved, but their diaries are busy. But Craig Revel Hallward knows Dartford. He was here in the Panto a few years ago. A wonderful guy. And he jumped at the chance. He's been really accommodating, really helpful. He just wants to come down because of the love of Len. And so we're very, very grateful that he'll be unveiling it for us. And I hope he'll say a few words about his recollections of him. But as I he lived so many different lives, Len. You know, he lived this life in Hollywood. He lived the life here in Dartford as a teacher. He was a great father, a great husband. And so we've got all these dimensions to his character and the people he's picked up as acquaintances along the way. I don't think he ever lost a friend. So plenty of people wanted to come, but Craig is delighted to be coming. And I should say a word too about our artist, a guy called Adrian Riley, who came forward with we gave him the sort of sketch of an idea. We said we didn't want it to be a dusty old statue, but we wanted it to be something that would make people smile. And I think he's done us proud.
More funding is going towards removing chewing gum from the streets of Medway. Council bosses have been given a grant of more than £27,000 by Keep Britain Tidy. They'll be cleaning up areas in Gillingham and Chatham. Meantime, £8 million is going to be invested in leisure centres in another part of Kent. Serco Leisure has taken over three sites in Tunbridge Wells, Cranbrook and Paddock Wood. Work to upgrade all of their gyms is due to get underway this month. And the iconic Goodyear blimp is touring the skies of Kent for the first time in 4 years. It took off from Calais this morning and has already been seen going over Dover, Canterbury and Medway. The airship often appears at big sporting events.
Kent Online Sports.
Well, there's just one thing to talk about in sport, and children in Kent who've missed out on seeing England play in the World Cup so far will finally get to watch them later. Today's big match against the Democratic Republic of Congo kicks off at the earlier time of 5 p.m. Their opponents are expected to play a defensive strategy, but these kids have been telling us how they're looking forward to the game.
I think England is going to win the whole World Cup. Their chances are low, but I think they're trying their best, and I think they'll go at least to the quarterfinals.
I'm confident we've got this.
I think there is 45% sure that England will win the World Cup.
My favourite England player is Harry Kane because he's really good and he scores all the goals and hat-tricks.
Harry Kane, he's winning us the World Cup. He's just been great this season.
If the Three Lions make it through, they'll play Mexico in the last 16. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.